Praise God. Hope everyone's doing wonderful today. You know, it's going to be a fairly nice January day in the 60s. Can't beat that. But, you know, here in Oklahoma, we have what I call bipolar weather. If you look at this week, tomorrow is going to be 70 degrees. I mean, you know, nice weather, maybe play some golf, things like that. But coming up on Thursday, the high is 21. All right. With a chance of snow. So praise God. You just never know, you know, what happens in Oklahoma. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I just was praying this past week about, you know, what to minister on, and God just, you know, just showed me some things that, so I'm going to start with a scripture that I read quite a bit, and, you know, some people think it's my favorite scripture in the Bible. John chapter 10, verse number 10, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today. It says this: the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You know, about, I don't know, 15 to 20 years ago, I'm actually, at that time, I was doing prayer school and healing school here at the ministry. And the Lord really showed me some things. You know, a lot of Christians seem to think that once you get saved, the devil doesn't attack you anymore. And sometimes it seems that if we listen to the way some ministers minister, they never get attacked. So if they never get attacked, then there must be something wrong with me, that the devil is attacking me. There's nothing wrong with you. See, the Lord wanted me to point out, and he's really laid in my heart at that point in time, and I've done it for the last 20 years or so, that we need to understand that it's normal for the devil to try to attack you. All right? That's a normal situation. You know, it's another scripture says, he's seeking who he may devour. All right? Now, when we come here, the New Living Translation says that the devil's purpose in life is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So his purpose is to, on purpose, make your life miserable. I mean, that's what he's trying to do to you. All right, so we need to understand that, you know, the devil is good at his job. All right, you know, because some people act, well, you know, well, he has no power. You know, the devil is good at his job, and he's going to try to do all he can to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. And so, you know, one thing that we have to realize is that when we're being attacked by the devil, you know, sometimes, you know, you need to realize, well, that's just an attack. But see, the verse doesn't end with the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. The verse ends with my purpose. See, Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly, or this says a rich and satisfying life. Well, I'm here to tell you that a rich and satisfying life is not a life in the hospital. All right, it's not a life that you're barely making it. That's not a rich and satisfying life. And so if you're not living a rich and satisfying life, then we should. Well, how do we do that? Well, we have to realize that God has given us promises through his son, Jesus Christ. And we have to take, you know, take a hold of those promises and live the kind of life that he wants us to live. Now, we talked to this church, you know, the first of the year, Ephesians 3:20, you know, that he wants to do exceedingly above, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now, in order to do that, we have to ask and think stuff. In order to give you exceedingly above what you can ask or think, you first of all have to ask and think something. And then he wants to give you more, because we serve a God that's more than enough. But this week, as I was praying about some things, you know, in life, sometimes we have what we call disappointments. Anyone ever had a disappointment in life? If everyone's hand didn't go up, then, you know, there's something wrong with you. You know, maybe you've already got that artificial intelligence stuff or whatever, so you just, or you're just a liar, I don't know. You know, because we've all faced disappointment in life. I mean, we've all faced situations where we thought everything was going to work out this way, and it didn't happen. I mean, it happens, you know, not all the time, but it does happen, you know, sometimes. You know, it seemed like, you know, it was this was it, you know. But maybe it was one of those situations where it was too good to be true. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. All right? But so this morning, the Lord said, why don't you preach a message called Dealing with Disappointments? Because we need to know what to do whenever we get disappointed, because if the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, he's trying to make disappointments happen in your life on a daily basis. He's trying to bring things into your life to stop you from having a rich and satisfying one. And I'm telling you, he's doing a good job at it. There is a lot of people all around the world that are not having rich and satisfying lives right now because the devil is stealing our joy. He's stealing our happiness. He's stealing our finances. He's stealing our health. You know, and he's seeking who he may devour, like the Bible says. So whenever I think about dealing with disappointments, you know, actually the Lord showed me this a number of years ago, because I was thinking, well, what does Jesus do when he gets disappointed? And I'm like, well, did he ever get disappointed? I mean, was there ever things that didn't happen like he thought they were going to happen? And the answer is yes. Mark chapter 11. Now, I know most of you are real familiar with Mark chapter 11. You're familiar with verses 22, 23, and 24. But Mark chapter 11, verse number 12, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because it's new and living. I don't know. It's just a little more modern. Sometimes you read from modern translations, we get a little more insight. All right? And I'm going to read verse 12. It says this. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, so that's Jesus and his disciples, Jesus was hungry, all right? He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, so he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And his disciples heard him say it. So let's just imagine here, because sometimes we just read things and we're like, okay, whatever. So first of all, it says the next morning. So it was morning time, all right? A lot of people in the morning time, you know, you get up, you know, maybe you have some coffee, and then a lot of people eat something for breakfast. I don't normally eat breakfast, but a lot of people do. You know, especially if you're hungry. Now, has anyone ever been hungry? Now, I mean, there's hungry and hungry. Now, I realize this is probably not a good time to talk about being hungry, because some of you maybe missed your breakfast like I did and already looking forward to that lunch. You know, so now Craig just made you think about eating, you know, and it's not my fault if you get fat. I'm just reading the word. Anyway, it says this, Jesus was hungry. Now, what do you normally do if you're hungry? You normally eat, or you look for something to eat. You know, you walk into your pantry, and you look around and say, I can't see anything healthy in there. And you go open your refrigerator, and you see how old the leftovers are, you know, that are in there, because there's already always plenty of leftovers in the refrigerator that nobody eats, at least if you have my refrigerator. But then you notice that that's probably been in there for a week and nobody ate it. One time I said, oh man, there's a salad. That'd be healthy. And man, the lettuce was all brown and everything else. I mean, been in there for a long time. But anyway, whenever you're hungry, you look for something to eat. So here it says, he noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. Now, if you read from the King James or the New King James, it uses the word afar. Now, I want you to understand that afar is not a close. Because, you know, every time that I've ever imagined this story, I imagine, you know, that Jesus and the disciples are walking down the road and all of a sudden they see a fig tree right next to them and, you know, it all happens. But the Bible actually tells us that it was a little ways off, or it was afar. So that means that Jesus had to get off the road and go to that fig tree. You know, so if you're going to, you know, take a detour from the way you're going, you know, you're doing that because there's a purpose there. His purpose at that time was to eat fruit or figs. Now, I'm not a figologist. I don't even know if I've ever eaten an actual fig. I've had some Fig Newtons. That's not the healthy version of a fig, I'm sure. But, you know, but Jesus had to walk a little ways. I don't know how far a far is. It's a far, or a little ways off. I mean, I mean, it was in vision range, but I don't know how good their vision was because, you know, some people can see things a lot farther than other people can see. In fact, I mean, you know, notice I wear glasses now all the time, and one reason is because I couldn't recognize the people in the back row sometimes. I'm like, well, I think I know that person, you know, whatever. You know, I couldn't see afar. But, you know, maybe the fig tree was as far as from the stage to the back row. I don't know. But, I mean, Jesus had to go out of his way to go to the fig tree. Everybody get that? It wasn't just there by the road. Because, you know, whenever we read the story, everyone's thinking, man, it's right there. But also, it would make sense. Because if I was a fig farmer, I would not plant my fig tree by the road because everyone who walked by would be stealing the figs. All right? Now, I'm not saying that Jesus was stealing figs. It was probably public domain. It was probably, you know, it was probably county land or something. I don't know. Or, I mean, I have no clue why this tree was here, who planted the tree. But I do know it was deceptive. Because, you know, when I was a kid, I used to always say, man, Jesus was pretty mean. I mean, because it clearly says right here, he noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, so he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Now, the Bible says that it was too early for figs. So why did Jesus curse a fig tree when it's not even fig season? You know, I was like, man, that's really kind of mean. And in fact, I actually think that my mom told me one time that, or I've heard her say it from the pulpit that I was at, you know, Sunday school one time and I got home and they asked me what I learned. They said, Jesus went to the fig tree and he was mean to it, or something like that. You know, because he commanded the tree not to have any leaves anymore. Now, so the reason that Jesus was upset is because if you look, that if a fig tree has leaves, it should also have figs. So that fig tree was deceptive. Now remember, Jesus was hungry. Jesus had to walk afar from the road. Now see, if he didn't have to walk afar, he might not have been that big a deal. But he had to walk a ways. And he got there. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, let's just, you know, put it in modern day terminology. All right? There's certain places, I mean, like, let's say, I actually like McDonald's breakfast. I don't really like their hamburgers, but McDonald's breakfast. But Now, I know now a lot of them do breakfast all the time, but used to they would end at a certain time, you know. And so sometimes I've driven afar just to, you know, just to make it there right before the breakfast, you know, going to end, you know. And I, you know, sometimes you go to the drive-thru and says, "Sir, we've quit serving breakfast. You want a Big Mac?" That's a disappointment. All right, because I don't want a Big Mac. I wanted a sausage egg biscuit, not a Big Mac. You know, so, you know, I was disappointed. But so when you're hungry and you think you're going to get food and you don't get food, that's a major disappointment. Because he didn't see any more fruit afar or near or anywhere else. So Jesus came to a fig tree and he was disappointed. So you know what? In life, sometimes you're going to find a fig tree. Something that looks like it was going to be an awesome thing. And whenever you get there, you find out it wasn't very awesome. It wasn't what it was cut out to be. You know, and so Jesus was disappointed, and what did he do? He opened up his mouth, and he took authority over that tree. Now, he said, "No man ever eat fruit again." Now, I personally think, you know, I know the Bible doesn't have inflection, but if I'm hungry, and I walked afar, and I got to this fig tree expecting to get fruit, you know, I'm sure that he probably was a little angry when he just didn't say, "Please, you know, no man ever eat fruit." He says, "No one's ever going to have fruit from this thing again. I curse you in my name." Because I would say Jesus' name, but he's like, you know. I mean, you know, and he probably did it even meaner than that. Because remember, Jesus was mean to the fig tree. I told you that a long time ago. I learned that. So he cursed the fig tree. Why did he curse the fig tree? Because you know what? He could have just left it alone. But if he would have left it alone, it was going to deceive somebody else. It was going to deceive somebody else. It was deceptive. Now, I get it. When he cursed the fig tree, it didn't make him eat. But he wasn't going to leave that for somebody else to get disappointed. Now, whenever you face a disappointment, you need to open up your mouth and speak to your disappointment. Actually, we'll read that later on. But I also want to point this out because I actually really didn't realize this until I was reading it again. Verse 15, remember, Jesus was hungry. Verse 15 says, "When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. Then he said to them, 'The scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves.'" Interesting. That, do you realize that Jesus had been to this temple many times? These same people were buying and selling stuff, and he didn't do anything about it. Now, I don't know, but if I was the disciples, I would have marked it down in my little journal, "Make sure Jesus gets breakfast." Because if not, he gets angry. I mean, maybe his stomach was growling and stuff like that, and he got there and the money changers didn't have any food. I don't know. And I'm joking here, guys, okay? But I just happened to notice that, you know, it goes from disappointment to not being nice to the money changers. Now, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be doing that or whatever they're doing, you know, but it is interesting. Now, actually, what's even more interesting is verse 18 says, "When the leading priests and teachers of the religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him, But they're afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teaching. So really, at this point in time, was when they started scheming up a plan to crucify him. All because Jesus didn't get breakfast. Anyway, I'm kind of being funny, but whatever. Anyway, so verse 19 says, that evening, Jesus and his disciples left the city. They went back. Verse 20, the next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter, remembering what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day, exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." Now, this is really interesting because sometimes when we think about Jesus, we think, well, as soon as Jesus spoke, things changed. But evidently nothing changed, because if it would have died the day before, Peter were like, "Oh yeah, that's that fig tree you killed yesterday." But when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, immediately nothing happened, seemingly. Nothing happened on the outside. In fact, probably his disciples were just saying, "You know what, Jesus is just kind of just, he's just saying that." But the next morning when they came by, they're like, "Hey, that fig tree, that's like dead." Jesus says, "No, it's dead. I told it to die. It's dead because that fig tree disappointed me yesterday and I didn't get breakfast." Now, there's going to be times you get disappointed. But here's the thing, is when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, nothing happened immediately as far as we could tell, but a tree has roots. And the only way for the tree to die is for the root system to die. And it died from the inside out. It died from the inside out. So, you know, when Jesus spoke, immediately the roots of that tree began to die. Now, in this situation, it took 24 hours or at least some. It might not take 24 because they didn't notice until next morning. And, you know, we also have to understand that there wasn't streetlights and things like that. So it could have died earlier, but whenever, you know, they were walking home in the dark and they couldn't see the fig tree. I don't know. I mean, you know. You know, sometimes we forget modern technology, that even if we don't have a street light, we got a flashlight or we have something, you know, that we can see. But, you know, I don't know when the fig tree died, but it died sometime in the process of 24 hours. Now, you say, well, yeah, but it started dying when the words were spoken. When you speak to your sickness, you might not feel anything immediately. You might not see anything immediately, but you have to know that right down in the root of the problem, the healing power of God is working in your body to affect a healing and a cure. Now, it might take longer than 24 hours, because some people say, well, Jesus only took 24 hours, and this took 20. You know, it doesn't matter how long. What matters is, what do you believe? Same way, I mean, if it's a financial problem, whatever problem it might be, whenever you face a disappointment, begin to speak with disappointment. Disappointment, I'm not going to let you bother my life anymore. Devil, you have no right. Because see, really, and ultimately, this all comes down to the devil. It's all attack from the devil. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my life. To get away from my finances, to get away from my health, to get away from my family. You know, you say, well, that's, you know, you talk like that? Well, Jesus told us to talk like that. That's what he did to the fig tree. He began to speak. And we need to learn to speak to our situations. And I'm here to tell you, some of you might be walking in a fig forest. As soon as you get rid of one disappointment, you don't even have to go far. You go near, and boom, there's another one. 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 Well, what do? You do the same thing you did the first time. You keep speaking. You keep talking. You keep claiming. You use the authority that you have in the name of Jesus. It's just that simple. Because I'm here to tell you, you will face disappointments. You are going to face the devil coming at you. And I have found out, you know, because the more you do for God, the more the devil's going to try to stop you. Because you know what? If you're not doing anything for God, he'll probably just let you go on, do whatever, you know, you're already driving yourself to hell. You don't need his help. You know, I've heard people, you know, say they're out in ministry, you're like, man, I just keep getting attacked over and over. I must be doing something wrong. Well, maybe you're doing something right. Maybe you're doing something right. But the devil's trying to tell you that you're doing something wrong because he's trying to stop you. Because if he can stop you, then he gets you off course. He's trying to stop you. You know, his time is short. And it's very evident in the world today that the devil is at work. He's at work like never before. But you know what? It's been prophesied, it's been foretold that is, you know, the more the devil begins to roar his ugly head, the greater revival that we are going to have. But some people are not going to stand up. Some people are going to fall away. But it's up to you to decide. What are you going to do when you face disappointments? What are you going to do when you face what Dad calls obstacles? I call them obstacles, but you know, that's my dad's. I like the way he says it, but he can't say obstacles. I don't know. He says obstacles all the time. You know, I grew up listening to him say talk about obstacles. But you're going to face obstacles. Or obstacles or whatever you're going to, but you have to do. What do you do whenever you face those situations? Well, let's just keep reading. All right, verse 22. Then Jesus looked at his disciples and said, have faith in God. When you face any kind of situation, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how disappointing you feel, what you need to do is you need to have faith in God that God will give you a way out. God will change your situation. See, Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24 was all about the fig tree. Jesus was given an example. This is what I did when I spoke to that fig tree. And this is what you need to do whenever you speak to your fig tree or your disappointment or your mountain. It doesn't matter. We're all going to have disappointments. We're all going to have things that happen that we didn't think were going to happen. But he says this, verse 23, in reading from the New Living Translation, says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, he pointed to a literal mountain. And he says, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea. Now, you know what? That's pretty impossible. Do you realize it? You know, I realize we're here in Oklahoma, but you that are in Colorado or some other place where you have mountains, I mean, think about this. If you were at a place where you could actually literally outside your window see a mountain, what if one morning you got up, you're having your coffee and your breakfast, you're not hungry because you're eating breakfast, and you look out the window and you're like, where'd that mountain go? Now, okay, in California, a lot of times there's places where you can see mountains on one side and you can see the ocean on the other side. So what if you were, let's say we're in California somewhere, wherever, but you know, somewhere we can see the mountains in the horizon, and all of a sudden that mountain was gone, but we were driving to work, and we look across the ocean, and boom, there's that mountain. They were like, man, that's pretty freaky. How'd that mountain go from over here to over there? That just doesn't happen. What Jesus was saying, you know what? The things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. All things is an all-inclusive word meaning everything. All right? All literally means all. Because some people say, well, you know, Craig, you can believe for this and you can believe for that, but you can't believe for, I mean, that's just too hard. Don't we serve the God that's more than enough? Don't we serve the God? I mean, do you realize that, I mean, I don't know if any of you happen to be doctors. I know you might play one on TV, or I guess everyone's doctors now because, you know, we've gone through this pandemic. We all, but, and you know, if you study biology, you study, I mean, all the cells and organisms, all the bones, I mean, all the, do you realize that God made man from dirt? God took dirt and made this incredible thing. So don't you think he can take care of your situation? I mean, go outside, pick up some dirt, and I mean, it's like worthless. Well, I guess it could be worth something if you can plant some things in it, you know, stuff in it. I mean, but, you know, dirt's really good for a lot of things. But you were made from dirt. From that dirt came an incredible formation that is so I mean, just think about this. I mean, it's. Do you realize that you can do things without thinking? Like if there's a ball headed toward your nose. Quicker than you can even think, you put your hand up. You know, now if you happen to be looking this way and the ball's coming, then maybe you turn to get hit in the nose. Because, you know, but the thing about it is that, I mean, your reaction, you don't even think about it. You don't even think about it. I'll give you an example. One time, because Craig was being stupid, because he didn't read my book yet, didn't write the book yet. You know, don't be stupid. Great book. Everyone needs to get a hold of that. I was going a little fast, and it was a little rainy, a little slippery, and I was turning into a location, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to miss my turn, and I turned my, and I was in a vehicle, an SUV that was a little bit tipsy, and you know, not, and so I tried to turn, and I could feel it going, because I go on two wheels, so I decided just to throw it in the ditch. And when I threw it in the ditch, all of a sudden, I kind of hit this rock thing and the airbags went off. Has anyone ever been hit by an airbag? Not a fun thing, but you know what? What's even worse is, but I'm faster than the airbag. Because that airbag went off, and because I saw it coming at me without half thinking, I actually threw my arm right here to block the airbag. Now the bad part about it is that airbag is like a gun going off, like gunpowder or whatever. My arm got burnt from the airbag. But I was pretty amazed at myself that I had so fast reflexes, I could actually throw my arm up because that airbag comes out pretty quick. Now the car was told, I just want to let you know about that. Avis did a great job, you know, no big deal. They took care of it. Well, it was a big deal. It did cost some money. But anyway, don't be stupid. That's why I wrote the book. Anyway, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, reflexes, all these things, and it all came from dirt. So sure, I mean, how hard would it be to move a mountain a little bit? How hard would it be? Now, you know, really, too, when it comes to a financial situation, because you know, someone says, you know what, I mean, I need $1,000. I mean, you know, how can God provide for it? I just don't see how. Well, I don't see how you came from dirt either. I mean, when it comes to finances, you know, and thinking, well, that's really hard. No, it's hard if you don't understand. If you don't understand. Because Jesus was talking about, just like I spoke to that fig tree, just like, I mean, it's not really natural to, well, first of all, most of you probably don't talk to trees, all right? There might be a few of out there that are tree talkers. I get it. I mean, there's different strokes for different folks. But, you know, most of you probably don't go around and, like, curse trees all the time. But it's not really natural for someone to speak to a tree and the tree to die. I mean, I don't, it's not a normal thing. So Jesus was saying this is what we have to do. First of all, we have to put our faith in God. And I point that out all the time. That's why my actual favorite scripture is not John 10:10. My favorite scripture is Mark 11:22, because I believe if we'll get a hold of that scripture, have faith in God, everything else is going to work out. Because if I have faith in God, you know, if I'm going to trust in him, I'm going to believe in him, you know, I'm not going to worry about anything. It's just really that simple. Have faith in God. That's what I live my life by. I always have faith in God because I know that my God is able to make it all work out. Able to take care of every situation. Anyway, it goes on to say, I tell you the truth, you can say this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown in the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Now, see, the thing about it is, a lot of times we speak to things, but we don't really believe it's going to happen. Why? Because after you spoke to that situation, the next day you're telling your friend, oh, I don't know how it's going to happen. I sure hope it happens. That's not really believing. You know, here's the thing we have to understand. God doesn't tell you to make it happen. And once we get a hold of that reality that God doesn't tell you to make it happen, what he tells you to do is speak to your situation. Speak to your mountain. Now, what is your mountain? Your mountain could be anything. It could be a physical thing. And I don't mean physical like a physical mountain, because most people don't have issues with mountains. Unless you're in road work and, you know, you need to build a tunnel, then you might have an issue with mountain. But you know, most of the time, your mountain is a financial mountain. It's a physical, like, healing mountain. Or it might be an emotional mountain. You know, your emotional wreck. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's just fear. I mean, that's a lot of people's mountain right now is just fear, the spirit of fear. That they need to overcome that. And when they overcome it, I don't mean climb up your mountain. I mean get rid of your mountain. A lot of people are trying to climb up over a mountain, but you need to get rid of the mountain. How do you get rid of the mountain, Craig? Well, you say it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, and you have what you say. We've learned that a long time ago. Now, the New Living Translation says, you must really believe. Because there is a difference between believing and really believing. Because a lot of people, they want it to happen, but they don't really believe it's going to happen. Technically, by faith, it already has happened. As soon as Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he knew it was dead. Or to quote Mr. Wonderful in Shark Tank, you're dead to me. I don't know if you ever watched that program, but he'll say that because, you know, I don't want to talk anymore. I'm done. So Jesus said, fig tree, you're dead to me. You're done. You're a goner. Do you know that Jesus really believed that that fig tree was going to die? In fact, when he spoke, he spoke death over that fig tree. What happened? He had what he said. And then Jesus used that as an example to tell us, hey guys, it says, verse 23, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain. Now, you know, if other translation says, whoever says. And I want you to point, you know, I want you to see that, because some people say, well, this was only for the disciples. You know, you 12 and no more. He didn't say that. He says, whoever, or actually going back to the King James, whosoever, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this fig tree, whoever says to this disappointment, whoever says to this situation, whoever says to this sickness, whoever says to this financial situation, whoever says. So you need to be a whoever. You can be a whoever. All you have to do is start speaking and really believe. You say, well, I don't see how that's going to... See, the problem is too many people have too much education. And I'm all for education. All right? But it's interesting because when you go to the middle of Africa where you know, they look at you, a white man, and they think, he's educated. And you read the Bible, you know what? They just believe it, and you see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, because they don't question. Amen. Amen. They think you know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We should think that Jesus knew what he was talking about. We should think that God knows what he's talking about. We should think that the Bible is true. Amen. And act like it. Because if you act like the Bible is true, like the mountain is going to be removed and be cast in the sea, then you wouldn't be telling your friends the next day, well, I sure hope this happens. If this doesn't happen, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're speaking those words, your faith is not in God. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, I talked about the definition of faith. And I found out that the Webster's New World Dictionary is now available online at yourdictionary.com. And faith is an unquestioning belief without any evidence. An unquestioning. There is no question. When you're in faith, you don't question. It's done. When I speak the word, it's done. The devil has no right. He has no authority. And I don't care if he's a huffing and a puffing and trying to blow my house down. He's just going to huff and puff. I know his tricks. I know Jesus warned me about this guy 2,000 years ago. Whenever he walked the earth, he said, hey guys, I'm here to tell you the devil, he has a purpose and one purpose and one purpose only. He's trying to steal from you. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you. But do not listen to him. Listen to me, because I came that you might have a rich and satisfying life. So quit listening to a liar. You have to make a decision that you're going to speak the word. And when you face disappointment, and when you face obstacles, and when you face any kind of situation, that you can speak to these things, and these things have to go because your faith is in God. Just that simple. Then someone goes, well, I don't know how it's going to happen. Only believe. Only believe. You must really believe. It's just that simple. How hard is it to believe? How hard is it to believe the I'm not going to say individual because God's not an individual, but the God who took dirt and made this incredible human being with all these cells and all these things, and all that same God can help you get through any kind of situation that you will ever face. If you put your trust in God, if you speak to your situation, you speak to your mountain, you command it to leave, you command it to go, and it has to go. Why? Because God says so. God says so. God says so. You know, it's just that simple. You know, anytime there's a situation, my brain always said, you know, sometimes I will say, you know, most people don't see me ever get really concerned or ever really get that worried. But the devil does try to worry me and concern me. And all of a sudden, I just hear, dee, 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 dee. It's going to be okay. 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 Because, see, whenever you're facing that disappointment, if you can understand it's going to be okay, it's going to be all right. Because, you know, in this situation where Jesus was facing, you know, he didn't have breakfast, but he's going to make it. But sometimes your disappointment might be a bigger disappointment where your life is on the line or your family's in danger. But you have to understand, you have to trust God the same way in any time, in any situation. The devil's a liar. He's there to kill, steal, and destroy, but he's not going to destroy my life. He's not going to destroy my family. He's not going to destroy my legacy. He's not going to destroy anything because he has no right. He has no authority in every situation. It's time to go. When I lead you, I'm going to leave you with one more scripture. From the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse number 28 says this, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." You know what? It doesn't matter. That situation's going to change. That circumstance is going to change. And God's going to turn it around for good. He's going to make it all okay. And you might be saying, "Well, Craig, how is that going to happen?" Faith is an unquestioning belief. I don't have to ask how. I don't have to ask when, why, all these things. All I have to do is have faith in God. But see, here's the devil's going to try to tell you, "Hey, I don't think it's going to, I mean, I don't know how it's going to happen. It's not for me to understand. It's for me to believe." Or the New Living says, "Really believe." Just that simple. Church, I'm here to tell you, you're going to face disappointments. It's just the devil being the devil. It's just that simple. Because, like I said, a lot of ministers never talk about this kind of stuff because they're like, it always works out. But it is going to work out. It is going to work out. It will work out if you'll have faith in God. If you'll speak to your fig tree, if you'll speak to your fig forest, if you'll speak to your mountain, if you speak to your situation, it will be okay. Why? Because God's word says so. God gives me the authority to speak to my situation, and my situation has to change. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our midst today. Father God, we just thank you right now that you're helping us understand that the devil is out to destroy us. But Father, help us understand that even though he throws disappointments our way, that our faith should always be in you. So Father God, we thank you. The next time that anyone here, anyone watching at home goes through a situation, that they'll remember this message and they'll be able to speak to their situation, and the situation will have to change. Father God, we just pray for each and every person here, each and every person watching online. We thank you that you're empowering them to have faith like never before, to get to this situation right now. Father God, we just give you the praise, honor, and the glory. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, "Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to know him before I leave." Maybe you're here today and you say, "I've never been saved. I don't know Jesus. I don't know the authority that I have." So if you're here in this room and never been saved, you've never asked him to become Savior of your heart, just lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, "Craig, I don't know if I've ever asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and my Savior. I've been in church a long time. You know, my grandfather talked about many times that we need to have what we call a know-so experience. We need to know. You know, just because you live in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you go to a church doesn't make you saved. You have to ask Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life. If you've never done that, or you don't know if you've ever done that, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you say, "Craig, man, at one time I walked with God, but I kind of turned my back. I went away. I want to come back home and rededicate my life to God today." If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. On any invitation, we want to give that that time for if anyone here that wants to be saved and wants to rededicate their life to God, just lift your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here, anyone is watching online that needs salvation, we thank you, Father, right now that you will minister to them. You'll send laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You guys want to sing something?
And you said it, and I believe it. You said.